First reading today is from the fifth book of Deuteronomy, the 16th verse. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long, and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Second reading is from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Final reading is from the book of Romans, 13th chapter, verses 1 through 5. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good, but if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience.
Thank you. Well, we've had our challenges this morning. Technical side up there with PowerPoint and everything. I had to run home and get a laptop, and we got it sorted. And then other things have happened, and it made me realize that whenever this happens, normally God is working, and therefore the evil one is trying to frustrate and stop what he wants to do. So I think God's going to do something very special in our lives this morning. I'm going to ask you to join me in praying that God will actually do that, that God will speak to each one of us here this morning personally as we open his word together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you're the living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one exalted above all things, God over all, blessed forever. You are the God who loves us and sent your Son to die on a cross, to take our sin and bear our sin in his own body on that tree. And that he rose again and is a risen Lord and Lord of this church, Lord of our lives, we trust. And may that be true. We pray that as we open your word and as we consider together how it applies to our lives, that you will really speak to us, that you will make it real to us, Lord, in a way that will result in change this week, this month, and through the time we have on earth ahead. We pray for your transforming power by your Spirit to be at work in our lives this morning. And we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at rules for loving, which is the way to describe the Ten Commandments, because they represent the two greatest laws. As Jesus said, all the law is summed up in loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is really the first four of those commandments, Ten Commandments, and then loving your neighbor as yourself, which is the last six of the Ten Commandments. And the one we're looking at today is number five, which is almost like a bridge between the first and the second halves of the Ten Commandments. We're looking at love and respect, because the whole idea of honoring or respecting your mother and father has wide implications, and we'll see that as we go through. What do you think about this quote? We live in a decaying age. Young people no longer respect their parents. They are rude and impatient. They frequently inhabit taverns or bars and have no self-control. Do you know when that was written? It wasn't in the 60s. It was written 6,000 years ago on the tomb of a pharaoh in Egypt, in hieroglyphics. Wow. The same time that the Ten Commandments were given to Israel when Israel came out of Egypt and went to under God to their promised land, that God gave them this commandment, unlike what it was like in Egypt. I want you to know that the first of my commandments to you after dealing with your relationship with me in the first four, the first one to follow that is that you're to honor your mother and father. You're to respect and give due honor to them. Today in our culture, we have an increasing decline. That doesn't sound right. An increasing decline. Well, anyway, we have an overall decline in respect for any authority within the home, within the community, within the nation. Many children today have never learned obedience to any authority. And the well-being of family, of individuals actually, as well as family, community and the nation, begins in the home. It begins when children grow up and learn to respect their parents and therefore learn to respect any authority that they're going to face all through their lives. Maintaining a parental authority is indispensable to a stable society. So, honor your father and your mother, the Bible says. No, the Bible commands. God commands this. So let's look at that. It's first an imperative. It is a command God gives. It's a straightforward command. We can all understand it. To honor your mother and your father. The word honor actually has the idea of being heavy or weighty. So we can say it's the opposite of holding lightly or taking someone lightly. If I take someone lightly, it's no big deal, no value to what they say or do. I treat them in that way. Well, that's not showing respect. So when I show respect, there's a lot of weight, or if there's a lot of value in them, and I see that value and I respect it. So we honor our mother and father, not just because they are our mother and father, that is true, but because they have a role that God has given, an authoritative role in our lives as children, when we were children, but it also applies to adults as well, this command. It's addressed to all. It says to all of us that we're to honor our mother and father. When we come to the New Testament, when Paul talks about this commandment, he writes to children. And he says to children in Ephesians chapter 6, I think verse 1 or 2, it says there that Paul writes, children, obey your parents, because for children, the way they respect parents is to obey. But the command is for us all. We can all honor our parents, no matter what age they are or we are. In Leviticus 19, verse 3, where the law is reiterated again in that book, and it says in verse 2, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you must fear or respect your mother and your father. And actually he goes on, Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and goes on and lists all the other commandments in that chapter. But he starts off with that one. He says to all of Israel, the whole of the nation, you're to honor your mother and father. It's critical. It's a key command because society is so affected by our attitudes to those in authority. So the word fear that's used here is not to be afraid of your father and mother. It doesn't have that idea at all. To fear the Lord is a positive thing. It's to respect him, but it's to fear lest I disappoint him, or fear lest I cause his displeasure. So it's my desire to love God with all my heart, and that is a fear. The flip side of fearing God is to love God. It really means the same thing. I want him to be happy with me. I want to honor him. I want to respect him. I don't want to dishonor. I don't want to cause displeasure. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 22, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Taking that command and applying it to all of life. My mum and dad died some years ago in Australia. And I look back to the time when I was a teenager and I really struggled with showing them respect. And I was not a good example of that at all. And I look back with regret on that. And I wish they were here today so I could continue to renew that respect I have for them, huge respect I have for them now. All right, so let's look at this. The word honor. We need to honor those who have given us life. We've received life and everything we have, really, from our parents. So we're going to look at it in three ways. First of all, as children, then as teens, and then as adults. Well, teens are adults, sort of emerging. Anyway, as children obey or honor your parents. You do honor them by obeying them. Paul's, I already mentioned there in Ephesians 6, verse 1. The central issue here is submission to authority. So that's the principle that is implicit inside this command, that we are to grow up with a submission to a respect for authority. Authority is God-given. All authority comes from God. God is on the throne. He is exalted. He is the Lord. He is God. All authority is vested in him. And remember, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me as the Son. And so he said, go and make disciples. But all authority is vested in God. But he delegates authority. He gives within the family parents who have authority from God to function and have that role as parent. He gives authority to kings and to governments and to presidents and to local mayors and everyone else in any authority is a God-given authority. And so for a child to grow up knowing that their parents are in that place of authority and respecting that is huge in its implication for their life and the life of the community in terms of how it's going to work out for their adult life. So the primary role of a parent is not to make the kids happy, but to equip them for adult life. And a vital part of that is to respect authority. I've got some proverbs here. By the way, when I'm finished this series of going through the Ten Commandments, I'm going to look at Proverbs, and we're going to look at various themes through the book of Proverbs, and one of them is parenting. But here we find in Proverbs 1, verses 7 to 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, But fools despise wisdom and instruction. A child growing up who despises wisdom and instruction because of lack of respect of their parents will go on into all of life. And the fear of the Lord is foundational to building into a child the sense of respect for authority. That as a child has a healthy fear of the Lord, it will result in them having a right and correct fear or respect for their parents. It goes together. And in Proverbs 6, we read, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you wake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp, and correction and instruction," or discipline, "are the way to life." That when a child grows up with a healthy respect for their parents and is willing to listen and obey, it actually gives them life. It actually prepares them for life. And Proverbs 13:1 says, "A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes." Secondly, as young people, as young adults, obedience ends. You know, the whole thing of parenting is to prepare a child to the point where they are adults and make up their own mind and live their own lives. And so there comes a transition time where a child is taught to obey. You know, you do what you're told, you know. Sit there and finish what you're doing, and then you can come in here, or whatever you say. It's an obedience thing, and the child has to obey. But you don't say that to a teenager, or an older teenager. But there is a transition from when children who live, their respect for their parents is one of obedience, to a teenager whose respect for the parent is one of listening to their advice and being open to their guidance and wisdom and making up their own minds and then taking the consequences of making foolish mistakes. But learning through that process. So you have taking the child from straight obedience to authority to respect for authority and the guidance and wisdom and advice that is given as the child gets older and older. So for a young adult to show respect means to listen to the parents' advice. It's to it's the way you talk to your mother and father as a teenager. God convicted me about this, even though I'm not a teenager, because I say to Marg occasionally, maybe more than I should, "Oh, whatever." Have you ever said that? That's terrible. That's showing so little respect for Marg. Like, she might say, whatever, you know. And I think, oh, dear. Oh, no, she doesn't say that. I do. And I think, that's terrible. And so, but it's become a whatever world, hasn't it? Oh, whatever. And it's just like we dismiss somebody or their thoughts or their idea or their concerns or whatever it might be with the word whatever. And it is a mark of disrespect. So I'm guilty, and we're all, I'm sure, guilty at times of showing disrespect to one another. And the third, it's not just the way we talk to our parents as teenagers, but also the way we talk about them. The way we might make them out to be nothing special in the way we communicate with our friends and others around. So we are as young adults. And thirdly, as mature adults, we honor our parents by caring for their needs. And this is a biblical principle that goes right through the Bible of a child growing up and then being one who cares for their aging mum or dad or both. It's a reversal of the dependency roles where a child is brought into the world and is totally dependent on their parents, the parents, and as the parents then get into the latter years of life, can be totally dependent on their children to care for them. We live in a world where there is welfare, but at the time of the Bible and many cultures in the world today, there is no welfare. And it is the responsibility of the children to care for their mum and dad in their older age. And so at the time of Jesus, some of the religious leaders of the day thought that was cool. They could deal with some, they could show their devotion to God by giving money that's devoted to God. And because of doing that, they weren't able to care for their parents. And Jesus called them hypocrites. He says this, he says, for God said, honor your father and mother. But you say that if a man says to his father and mother, what help you might otherwise have received from me as a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God, you hypocrites. And so the huge way we respect our parents no matter what age they are, and even when they are really old, it's not just caring for them, it's the way we speak to them, or the way we listen to them, the way we spend time with them, the way we honor them. And yesterday was a prime example of that with Don at his birthday party, and the way that the family just honored that man in his getting on to being old age. So we see that the imperative is there. It is a command for us all to honor our mother and father. But the second thing, the importance of this commandment. The principle it represents is a principle to do with authority, as I've already mentioned. So parents are the visible representatives of God's authority in the human family. Respect and honor that we show to delegated authority is in effect respect and honor that is shown to God. So my response to my parents, whether I'm a child, a teen, or an adult, a mature adult, shows my attitude to God. Because they represent God in the area of authority. So we have in the Torah, in the Old Testament law, the law that if a son or a daughter is rebellious and curses the mother or father, capital punishment, they'll be killed. Now, it sounds terrible to us, but it was representative of God's law showing, like every other part of God's law, that the wages of sin is death, and that to rebel against God's law and to rebel against the authority that God has ordained is to actually rebel against God. It's serious. I want you to notice something. If you've got your Bibles or the pew Bibles, look at Romans chapter 1. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Here we have Paul writing to the Christians in Rome, and he starts off by trying to show them just the awful decline in culture back at the beginning of the human race and in the early days of the peoples of the world. And it says here that they turned, even though they knew God, it says in verse 21, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images and so on. Therefore God gave them over to, verse 26, to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural, and men and so on, doing things that the Bible condemns. And then we come to verse, there's a reason I'm going through all this, verse 28, that talks about the depraved mind, what ought not to be done. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, and boastful, inventing ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. Woo! In that list of those horrific, terrible sins, they disobey their parents. Why would God include that in there? Because it's such a serious sin. It is not minor. Look over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. And we have here in chapter 3 the end times and what life is going to be, what people are going to be like in the end times. It says there in verse 1, in the end times, and verse 2, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, and so on. So it's identified in those two lists of sins that mark, one, the depravity that began right back when people turned away from God, and the depravity that is going to be marking the end times and what people will be like at that time. And in the middle of it is disobedient to parents. So I hope you see that this is a serious thing. In fact, it says in 1 Samuel 15:23 that God hates rebellion. Rebellion is as bad as witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. So that's the seriousness of it. It is important, first, because the principle it represents, but secondly, because there's a promise. There is a promise here. And in fact, Paul says this is the only command with a promise. And it says, Paul says obey, but in the original law that was given for all of us is to respect your father and mother. And it says in Deuteronomy, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. I was listening to Alistair Begg, and I love that man's preaching. And he was saying that he was away with his family at a picnic, and there was a lady there who was just about to turn 100. And they had a lot of conversation with her, and they loved being with her. She was as bright as a button, and she was, sparking well, and everything went well for the picnic. And on their way home, one of Alistair's little children said, "Daddy, that lady must have really honored her mum and dad." Well, the promise isn't for a long life. It might seem to say that, but it doesn't. It says that it may go well with you and you may live long that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And it's saying that, for first of all, it's a promise to attach to the covenant, that this was a covenant for Israel. And Israel was given the land, and as a nation, they were to live in the land and know God's blessing. And if children were to grow up with a respect for their mother and father, then God says you will live long in the land. You will be established in the land as my people, and you won't be taken out and sent on to exile. You won't have other nations coming in and taking charge. You will live long in the land, and what's more, it will go well with you. God's saying that this is a core issue for God's blessing on the nation and for God and for the welfare of the nation as a whole. You see, the nation of Israel had a special covenant relationship with God, and that was passed on from generation to generation through the family. So it was key that children grow up to respect, and that all respect their mother and father. And by the way, this command is repeated through the book of Deuteronomy, and where always it says obedience to the covenant results in remaining in the land. Secondly, it does apply to us today, because Paul applied it to the church of his day. So how does it apply to us? Well, it's a moral principle. It's a truism. A truism is like the book of Proverbs. When we come to that, you'll see and know that when a wise man wrote down a truism, a proverb about, like, if you are generous, well, then you will have abundance yourself. That's not a promise. That is a truism. It normally happens that when people are generous, they normally end up having sufficient wealth themselves. A truism. And so this is a truism. It's not a guarantee. It means that there will be a good heritage for you as a family. That if you train your children to respect your authority, that it will affect their lives and it will affect your life and down to the next generation and so on. It is a truism. Proverbs 1 verses 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a garland on for your head and pendants for your neck. It's going to show and it's going to be good for you. Verses 1 to 4 in chapter 3 says, my son, do not forget my teaching but let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and of man. And lastly, I want to finish by saying that there are implications from this command. The implication, first of all, is that it implies honor to whom honor is due. The Bible teaches that very clearly in Romans chapter 13, to owe respect. If you owe respect to them, then give them respect. If you owe honor, then give honor. Parental honor lays the foundation for our attitude towards all authority figures. And all human relationships are founded on this principle that if a child has not learned to respect their parents, they will not have healthy relationships in life. If you don't, as a child, respect your mother and father's authority, when you face the world out there, and that's never been inculcated into your mindset and your attitudes, you will fight it. You will create for yourself one problem relationship after another. But people who learn to respect will respect everyone. We actually saw that verse up there. It says, respect one another, others above yourselves, that Kyle put up for us to look at. And I was reading in my own quiet time this morning about respecting one another. It's a principle in the Bible. But you learn it as a child when you respect your parents. We have to honor school teachers. They have a kind of a parental role, an authoritative role. Church leaders, that's clear in the New Testament. Church leaders in this church are those who are elders, if you like. The word elder we use for ministry and council. They are leaders. They are appointed by God to be in that role in the church. And any others who are in a pastoral or leadership role. And what does it say? Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. The church has authority and we have to have an attitude of submission to it. Do you know, I have noticed this when I've worked around a lot of churches as well as ministered in a number, that churches that have a healthy respect for leadership go places. They let leaders lead and they respect that. And they are united together, and it's such an important principle that you learn at your mother's knee and your father's knee, respecting authority. We're to respect in 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 to 2, those who are older than us. Respect your elders. My wife's just a smidgen older than me, and she sometimes says to me, respect your elders. Our political leaders, you may not agree with them. There'll be people here who are Democrats and there are people here who are Republicans. And whoever the president is, whichever side he's on, you're not going to like him or her, if there is a her, but you're to respect them. You respect your boss. You're to respect your policeman in the community. You're anyone in authority, God has placed them. God has given them that authority. And actually, when this was written in the New Testament, it was written at a time when the authority was really bad and caused a lot of pain and hurt and suffering and death. Nero. And finally, it implies parental responsibility. You know, we are, as parents, responsible to inculcate into our children respect for authority. And that is when they see us respecting authority and respecting one another in the marriage. Respecting authority in the community. When they see and take on board our attitudes, they learn to respect that authority. And it says, do not provoke your children to wrath. So be honorable in the way that you bring up your children. But secondly, be responsible to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. To actually discipline them, to instruct them, to say yes and no, to put boundaries and to have discipline. And if you don't do that, you're in trouble, and stick to it. And they are in trouble. So a child learns to respect that authority. Whoever spares the rod hates the children, the proverb says, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and what? In the end, he will not depart from it. Hey, we've got that all wrong. Do you know what that, first of all, if it is a positive thing, saying that if you train up a child in the right way, they'll not depart from it in the end, is not a promise, it's a truism, if it is positive. But I understand from studying that it's a negative one. So if it actually means train up a child according to his or her way, and in the end they'll not depart from it. If you bring up your child to just live the way they want to live and do what they want to do, in the end they'll live by that. They'll not depart from that. We're to train them up to respect authority, to say yes when we say yes, I'll do it, and to do it. Foolishness, it says, is bound up in the heart of a child, Proverbs 22:15, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. I remember my father, I know time's gone, but listen, my father used to say to me, go and get a stick, or go and get a coat hanger. And so our coat hangers were wooden. This is in Brisbane years ago when I was a little kid, you know. So, or not that little. And so when I was really bad, Dad would want to give me a good whack. So he had a reason now. I think he wanted to cool down first. So by the time I came back with a stick, he was more composed. And he was a good man, by the way. Don't get me wrong. But I'm glad he did. Now, as I look back, not at the time. But anyway, so he sent me to get a coat hanger. So I went to Mum's closet and I got one of those ones that are covered in, someone had knitted around it. So I got, and he burst out laughing. I didn't get it. I didn't get it. It worked. That time. I want to read this to you. No, I haven't got time. I'll put it up on the Facebook thing so you can have a look at it there. Okay, about a permissive parent. I want to finish with a story. Desmond Tutu was once asked why he became an Anglican priest, minister. He was in South Africa. He has since died, I think, hasn't he? I think he has. Certainly he was very sick. Anyway, he replied that he became an Anglican because in the days of apartheid, when a black person and a white person met walking along the footpath coming the opposite directions, that the black person was expected to step into the gutter and to curtsy, as it were, as the white person walked past. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. But anyway, that's my comment. No doubt Desmond would say the same thing. But anyway, one day, says Tutu, he, as a little boy, was walking with his mother along this pathway, sidewalk, and he noticed there was a tall white man in a black suit walking towards them. And before his mother and he stepped off the pathway, this man stepped into the gutter and walked, and as he walked past, he curtsied to his mum and to himself. And he was so surprised, he couldn't believe it. And he said to his mother, "Why did that white man do that?" The mother explained, "He's an Anglican priest, and what's more, he's a man of God." "When she told me," says Desmond Tutu, "that he was an Anglican priest, I decided there and then that I wanted to be an Anglican priest too. And what's more, I wanted to be a man of God." Respect for one another, it's all through life. Let's make it real in our lives. Thank you.